You're listening to episode 98 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, live audio.
Welcome to 90. Oh, jeez. See, I was. Okay. Oh, see, I thought this was. Okay. Wait. Welcome to episode 98 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Oh, jeez. I was thinking to myself, don't mess up. You got to get it right the first try. We can't go back immediately. Oh, and just right out the gate, base plant. Today is episode. Oh, jeez. Today is episode 98. And today is also August 10th, 2013. I'm Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my English invasion brother, James Furlough. Wow. That was fantastic. Gosh.
Completely botched that.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so excited about having this music integrated with us. I guess we're just not ready for the live prime time yet. I guess that's what that means.
Yeah, that's our first go, everybody. So usually we add the music, the intro and the outro on afterwards. So if I do a complete faceplant like I just did, we just start over really quick.
That's good.
But this is how we're going to do it this time.
You know what this calls for? Now that we have the sound, I can do this.
Sound effects are going to be awesome.
That was a dream of ours, day one.
It was, I know, man.
We're finally living it.
I love that, the inception. That's great. So we,
you said something about the English invasion.
The
huh?
English invasion, yeah. So if you don't recognize the fact that I am not broadcasting from I'm not broadcasting from a magician's cupboard. I'm not broadcasting from a new, that's a nicer way of saying my mom's closet. I'm not broadcasting from my new domicile. I'm actually broadcasting from a porch in the middle of, I'd call it sunshiny San Francisco, but it's pretty overcast out. But I am currently in the San Francisco Bay Area. Attending the music festival Outside Lands. And the reason why this is all really cool is because yesterday I got to fulfill a bucket list of mine and got to see Sir Paul McCartney live.
Dang.
Yeah, man. Having to play all the Beatles hits and his Wings stuff and signing girls' wrists and stuff is awesome.
Okay. Stuff. Is he as good as they all think he is?
Yeah. Yeah, he was fantastic. It was unbelievable. And I mean, I'm a huge, huge Paul McCartney Beatles fan and have been for well over a decade. So for me, it was like, I knew most of the music, but what was cool was how many people who aren't Beatles and Paul McCartney fanatics knew most of the music. Like, he played popular stuff, and our sister graduated recently from her college of choice, and on her, you know, for her present, she wanted a, you know, like our best of mixtape, and I picked one Beatles song, made the final cut for the CD that I made her, and it was Lady Madonna, and they played it live for the first time in San Francisco, which is just like crazy. I was like, how could you have not have played that in San Francisco before? That's like my favorite Beatles song. But it was cool, man. It was fantastic. Super stoked. Tonight I get to see the Nine Inch Nails and a couple other awesome bands. And then Sunday, the reason why we're doing it this morning is because instead of seeing the Red Hot Chili Peppers for the final day, I'm going to be flying to England. So I'm going back. Oh, man.
It is a London invasion.
I know, exactly.
Wow.
So,
dang, you're living the life, man.
No, it's pretty cool, man. The vacuous life of We the Childless.
True.
That's it's easy, man. When you don't have a girlfriend, you can just go wherever, whenever.
Just for the record, there are perks. Oh, she's not around. To being married. But
yeah, no. I'm not saying No. We. I mean, I'm not saying that it's all sunshine and bubbles, but
no, that is cool.
It does have some cool perks.
That is another perk of not having any kids either.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're, which in like 3 years, we're already, because that's how far in advance I plan my life.
Yeah.
We're already planning something like a month or two long vacation in 3 years.
Nice.
Yeah, because we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, that may get derailed, but you know, whatever. Yeah.
No, at we'll this
address
point.
That when it happens.
Exactly. I'm actually 3 years from now, I'm making the same plans. What are you going to be doing 3 years from now at this time of year?
No. Yours is only 2 years, isn't it?
2016? It's 3 years.
Oh.
Yeah, I got 3 years to plan. Don't worry. I'm going to be going to Rio de Janeiro.
This time I'll
be getting on a plane to Rio.
Yeah, I don't know why. I thought that was a year. I don't know why. I thought that was happening a year before we reached our debt-free scenario.
I don't know why you thought that either.
I don't know. But we were thinking about
yeah.
Italy or Spain or both or something.
For a month or two. I'd be jealous. I would be jealous of that. And you'd get to do it debt-free, which is nice. Anyways, we are not here to talk about the Beatles and finances and our vacation plans. We are here
but
to talk about...
We
could go on for hours. That's why I have to get us back on track.
I'll talk about movies later. I got that.
Exactly. This week, like every week, we'll be talking about technology, the continuing corporate opera, movies and finances and vacations, but more specifically, the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and, of course, the technology they're developing. Before we get into the heart of the show...
Yes, I'm excited.
Before we get into the heart of the show, James has a short disclosure that he wants to throw out there.
Maybe this is the time to do it.
Yeah. You don't need to get more sound clips.
I do. I work for HP, but I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions.
Hughesy Packard. If you'd like to follow us throughout the week, we do all sorts of cool updates on our social media websites, everything from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook, but specifically the kind of the hub of where we like to go. For me, it's Twitter, and you can follow me at Matthew D. Furlow.
I am at James Furlow, and you can also follow me online.
Yes, so, all over the place.
All over the place. JamesFurlow.com is another
digital,
great place
digital
for me.
Connectivity.
Yes.
If you want to go to furloughbros.com, it's got all sorts of cool clicks and links there, videos that will be playing this today if you want to see the visual that goes with the audio. We've also got links to the podcast, the show cuts, so if you don't like listening to 2 hours of us droning on about all sorts of boring and awesome stuff, then you can get little bite-sized pieces.
Which
also,
are really like 20 to 30 minutes long. So,
I know, they're
bite-sized. They're not exactly chunklets. But they're, you know, it's a full meal.
Yeah, they're not clips. Yeah, exactly. You can, yeah, you won't be stuffed, but you'll
see,
be...
See, that's why we don't call them show clips. We call them show cuts.
Yeah,
Because that's what it is.
We thought about this. Exactly. And, yeah. Go there. You can also get all of our clicks and links to different, to our different... online personas and check us out, see what we do. I was thinking this is probably something we should talk about during either before or after the show, but I'm going to talk about it now. You know, we should probably like disclose why we actually, you know, you should listen to us. I mean,
what's the key benefit, key selling points?
Yeah, yeah. What's our resume? Why are we here? What do we talk about? I mean, well, I know what we talk about, but I don't know. Do you want to give it a good Furlough Bros go?
So wait, are you... So I thought I heard two things in there. One being why they should... listen to us?
No. I want them to know who we are and like what's our credentials. What's our, you know...
So I work for HP.
But you're like a...
I own a Pebble.
Nice.
No, I've read and follow tech as if my job depended on it, because to some degree it does.
Yeah.
So I would say that I scan, you know, somewhere in the vicinity of 100, 200 articles a day, which is a lot. Yes, I know. In terms of actually reading, I probably, you know, genuinely only read like 10 to 20 a day.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say
I don't know
was...
What you're,
I was going to try to encapsulate it into something a little bit tighter than that and just say he's sort of a business-minded dude. He's got his background is in finances and tech businesses. And, you know, we do regular research, and I'm kind of an engineer. My education background is mechanical engineering, but I work in the semicon industry. And so we both tend to have a lot of overlap in the industry, pay attention to lots of the news, and that's our educational history. See, I've been thinking about this because I already had it prepared what I was going to say.
I should have just
gone first. anyways, cool.
So, let's talk about tech.
Yeah, seriously.
Let's do this. I think you're up first, actually.
Okay. Cool.
Complimentary special event.
Yeah. What is it? What?
I don't know. That was the pop-up that happened on the website that you sent me to.
Yeah. So, I see what you're saying. So, yeah. So, this week, Microsoft has added more bad news to their Microsoft or their Windows catastrophe that's going on with Windows 8, specifically the Surface tablets. Obviously, the last couple of weeks have been terrible for Microsoft. They had that massive, nearly billion-dollar charge to write down in inventory, the poorly selling Surface RT, that after major price cuts to the RT to try to get them to move at all. The Surface Pro wasn't as bad and didn't get as much attention, mostly because it wasn't an atrocious disaster. So everybody's been kind of, complimentary special events. I see what you're saying now. Stupid pop-ups. And so Microsoft has finally come around and realized that they're not really selling as many Pro tablets as they'd like to either. So they're going to try to move a couple of those before the next quarter. And so they have now are giving a $100 price cut to the Surface Pro tablets.
Maybe they're making so many of them and they're realizing such economies of scale savings, and they believe in passing on those savings to consumers so vehemently
that
they're willing to cut the price of their Surface Pro by
$100. Did you just suggest the fact that Microsoft believes in passing on savings to their customers? I mean,
maybe.
Let's think about the only company that would be a more ludicrous proposition would be for just claim that would be Apple to do that. I mean,
well, Apple for hardware, yes. Microsoft for software.
Yeah, that is true. I mean,
if you think about it, Apple gives away their software, charges premiums, fair value, or I'll call it as it is, charge premium for the hardware, which is good hardware, I'll admit it. Yeah. And Microsoft, on the other hand, tends to charge premium for software, which I will admit, a lot of their software is good. Excel is one of the best programs I've ever used in my entire life, and it continues to amaze me today. And for their hardware, they at least try to get their OEMs, and you think about like the Xbox, they tend to sell that stuff at a loss. So they both have like inverse revenue models.
That's
so
true.
I'm just saying.
That is true. I don't believe that is the case, though.
I agree, but you know, I tried.
Yeah, I appreciate you. You know,
I feel like they would have said that if that were the actual case.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate you trying to bring the fair and balance to it, but I have a feeling that the problem is that that if it weren't for the fact that the RT did so terribly, the news story for the last month or so would be how terribly the Pro was doing.
Right.
And you know, it's only by comparison that it doesn't seem awful. And
it's only by comparison it doesn't seem awful.
Yeah, it's definitely the better of two evils. So this is a fascinating little problem that they've run into, because they're trying to convince their OEMs to build tablets at competitive prices and competitive qualities. And nobody's buying, like, the Microsoft-branded Surface tablet, which is bad news bears for them. But I think more dramatically, now, like, this super premium device that's supposed to be, like, you know, it's supposed to be the premium Surface or Windows 8 tablet is now going to be $100 less. And, like, what does that mean for HP and Lenovo and Dell as Dell. Jeez, that was funny. As they try to, as they try to sell their Surface or their Pro tablets with Windows 8 on it, are they going to be? You know, does that mean that now they're going to have to drop their price $100?
Well, what's interesting? I mean, if anything, HP and Lenovo both last week announced, you know, they're coming out with Android, essentially convertible big tablet things. And I would, and in the past, Windows was so dominant, so strong that they didn't have to spend the time and resources to do that, right? They're like, oh, we'll just sell Windows, no big deal. And now they find themselves in a position where they're like, and obviously I know, innovation cycles take so long that they wouldn't have known this, ahead of time. But their gut reaction or gut feeling, which I know for a fact to be true, was it's not awesome. It's not good. We need to figure out a way to diversify if this is what Microsoft's going to make.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. So I think you, like you said, you start to combine all the context of what's going on. You sit there and go, oh, yeah, that is bad. And I think the competitors like HP and Lenovo are going to say, you know what, we're not going to play this $100 price cut game. We're going to go to a different operating system where we don't have to. Though, if history's shown anything with Android, you have the same problem. But
right. Anyway. Yeah, it's going to be a race to the bottom in all of these cases. And
I think part of it, too, just like Microsoft doesn't quite have the same experience making computers, hardware.
Yeah.
And, and so I've got to imagine a lot of them as, trial by fire. Whereas you get HP, who's been doing it for a couple of years, and, they say, HP has a really good idea of what their cost structure is and what it takes to do something and, what the scale is on things, and you know what I mean? And they're just like, we if we make good hardware, they get their cost right. And there are planned, price decreases, and they know when they're going to happen, and they're all scheduled out. I mean, it's like, it's scientific almost.
And
I just don't know if Microsoft's doing that. I feel like they're just like, well, let's try it at this price point. We did some market research, and this is what they told us, and, it's not selling. Quick, drop the price. $100 sounds like a good round number. Let's do it.
Right. That'll get people's attention. It's $1 more than $99, but it sounds bigger. That's kind of my feeling. What's going on there is it's just a very reactionary thing, and they're kind of flailing a bit.
Of course, one of the other advantages, if I may, HP uses what's called a channel strategy where – they have other people sell the products for them, such as Staples or Walmart, whatever. And so what they can do is we have all the sales data. HP will go in and say, we're not going to do a $100 price cut at Staples, but we'll do an $89 one at Walmart, or we might even do $150 at Walmart, because they'll go, it's different customers. We know there's different reactions, there are different volumes that they're going to move. And so it will be more nuanced on the types of prices, which is why searching for a printer can be kind of a fun process because each store has a different discount amount.
Right. And that's not the, Microsoft is so clearly going after the Apple strategy of one price, all locations. They don't want to play that game. The problem is that they're playing in a different market than Apple is. And that's a yes and no. I'm a big
market,
advocate.
You're referring like different price point, that kind of thing?
Well,
so they're going after a different type of customer?
Right.
It's okay. I'm just making sure that's what you mean.
Yeah, because I was going to say, obviously they're both selling computers, but and any time, I'm a big advocate of the idea that anytime somebody's going to spend money on your product versus someone else's product or the other way around, those two products are inherently competitive. I think that they're more direct competitor than Apple really is HP and Lenovo and Asus and their Asus. And what you're going to see is you're going to have to play the game that these other companies play. And I don't think that they're going to do as well playing the game that Apple plays because it's really a branding issue. I think by and large, it's people don't expect to have to play people go in expecting to play a certain type of game with certain types of companies and when you think Microsoft, you think Windows, which immediately tethers you to the hardware of all these different OEMs. And, Microsoft now is in this place of, there because it runs Windows. They, you know, people think about them as an OEM like HP, like anybody else. And yeah, I don't know. I get a bad feeling for this whole thing.
Yeah. Interesting indeed. Yeah, we'll see what happens. They still make some money on software, so they got some staying power.
It's true. Well, I'm not talking about the company. I'm not saying the company's going to collapse. I'm just saying it's not pretty.
All right. Fair enough.